Thanks, everyone, for coming out this Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock in Spanish for Utah. Thanks to those who download these podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that are taking the membership class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Today, we'd like to talk about moving your mountains. Maybe a teacher, or coach, or a parent's not treating you right. That's a mountain of life. Sickness can be a mountain. Family crises, divorce, separation can be mountains. Unpaid bills, mountains. Rebellious children, mountains. Unfaithful husbands, mountains. Unfaithful wives, mountains. Lying friends, mountains. Addictions, mountains. Death of a dear and loved one, mountain. Mountains have long represented problems to be solved, obstacles to be overcome, crosses to be carried, burdens to be borne, troubles to be triumphed over, difficulties to be dealt with. But we're here today to tell you to do more than just pray about your mountains, hope about your mountains, believe about your mountains. You need to speak to your mountains out loud. You need to say, get out of my life. I'm not asking, I'm not begging, I'm not saying, pretty please, coated with molasses. I'm commanding those debts, that mistreatment, that sickness, that fear. I'm commanding you to get the heck out of my life and let me go to where God intends me to go. We need to speak to our mountains and not speak about our mountains. If you speak about your mountains, well, got the same thing that my grandmother had and she died of it. What have you just done there? You've encouraged your mountain. You've made it bigger. You've magnified it. You've acknowledged its power over you. You've given it a foothold, let it in the door. You've made the mountain stronger, and you've made yourself weaker. Don't give in to the lie that no matter how permanent or how immovable that mountain is, you can move that mountain. When you're saying never, when you're saying, I'll never get over that addiction, I've had it since high school, I'll never lose the weight, I've struggled for years, I'll never meet the boy or girl of my dreams, there are too many obstacles, it's never going to happen, it's been too long, that means that you're listening to your mountain, you're letting your mountain talk to you, but you're not talking to your mountains. Your mountain will respond to your voice. It's your mountain, so it's going to recognize your voice, and it's going to respond. Don't focus on the size of the mountain. Speak on the size of your God. I heard about this small congregation in the Smoky Mountains. They just built a new church on a piece of land that had been donated to them by a church member. And 10 days before the church was to open, the local building inspector came by and he informed the pastor that they'd need twice as many parking spots as they had. Otherwise, he wasn't going to let them open. Unfortunately, the church, with its undersized parking lot, had used every inch of their land except for the mountain against which it had been built. So in order to build more parking spaces, they would have to move the mountain out of their backyard. So undaunted, the pastor announced next Sunday morning they would have a mountain-moving faith meeting that evening. Out of the 300 congregational members of the church, 24 people showed up at 7 o'clock at night. They prayed for about 3 hours to God to move the mountain, at the end of which the preacher said, amen, we're going to go ahead with the opening of schedule. God has helped us to this point in time. He's not going to let us down now. The next Monday morning, as the pastor was working in his study, he got a loud knock on the door. Come in, he said, and a rough-looking, huge guy came with a hard hat on. And he said, excuse me, Reverend, I'm from such and such construction company over in the next county. We're building a huge new shopping mall. We're up against some deadlines, and we need some fill. We need some dirt, and we need it fast. Would you be willing to sell us a chunk of that mountain behind the church? We'll pay you for the dirt we remove, and we'll pave all the exposed area free of charge, under one condition, that you let us move in with our backhoes and our dump trucks this very afternoon. We cannot do anything else until we get the dirt filled in and properly settled. That little church was dedicated the next Sunday as originally planned, and there were far more members with mountain-moving faith on opening Sunday than there had been the previous week. When you speak to your mountains, and the way that we speak to our mountains is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna is a name for God. It means all attractive. Rama is another name for God, which means the highest pleasure, absolute. And Hare refers to the feminine, the energies of the Lord. As soon as you speak to your mountains by intoning and vibrating the holy names of the Lord, it may not happen overnight, but God perks up to attention. God releases favor, he releases healing, he releases sobriety, he releases breakthroughs, he releases victory, and they begin to make their way in your direction. Whether they proceed steadily towards you, that's up to you. Every time you chant, whether it's incidentally or coincidentally or intentionally, all those favors get closer to you. You want them to keep steadily advancing and eventually come in to bless your life and get you to where you need to go, then it would be good to do the chanting on a consistent daily basis. But even if you just, what you've already done just this afternoon, even if you don't do it anymore, the vaults of heaven have opened up, you've got God's attention, and those favors are headed in your direction. If you keep chanting, one day that mountain will be totally removed. We have, in the chanting, a better weapon than a sword, than a bomb, than a howitzer, than a gun. We have the names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As soon as the Lord hears that, he's prepared to fight your battles. All the powers of the spiritual world come to attention. All kinds of enemies may come at you and surround you and challenge you with natural power, but by chanting, you've just unleashed supernatural power. This is called Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Many, many thousands of years ago, as it was described in the scriptures, a devotee of Krishna named Dhruva was fighting single-handedly a huge army of yakshas. And not only were these yakshas powerful in their own right, but they were conjurers. They were artists of black magic. So in the course of the fight, they conjured up an incessant shower of weapons which covered Dhruva Maharaj, just as a mountain is covered by rainfall. From all sides, due to their mystic powers, rained hailstones, lances, clubs, swords, enormous chunks of stone. Flying towards him were groups of mad elephants, lions, tigers, along with many large-eyed serpents vomiting fire, all coming to devour Dhruva Maharaj. It seemed like the end of the universe was at hand. It seemed like that's all she wrote. And what did Dhruva do? He was totally covered. Literally, you couldn't see him. He took out a special arrow that had been crafted by Lord Krishna himself. He joined the arrow to his bow. He pulled it, and he empowered that arrow with the names of God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He released that arrow into the mountain, and just as the sun in the early morning hours dissipates the fog, all the illusion was vanished. What was he doing? He was speaking light into the darkness. Don't speak to God about how big your mountains are, your challenges, your trials, but speak to your mountains about how big your God is. And God will always hear. I heard about a prime minister. He was with heads of state. They were in a big, big 10-year summit meeting. He'd asked his secretary to hold all calls and by no means disturb him. Right in the middle of the meeting, the secretary comes and says, "Prime Minister, there's a phone call for you." He said, "I thought I told you to hold all calls." "Well, yeah, this is from your three-year-old son, Jimmy." "Oh, okay, I'll take that call." He picks up the phone, and while all the heads of state are sitting on their hands, twiddling their fingers, he talks to Johnny. Johnny says, "Mom and I are just coming home, and we're stopping. We want to know if you want French fries or tater tots." Prime Minister says, "I'll take tater tots." puts down the phone with a big smile on his face. Even if what you have to say, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, doesn't impress anybody, even if it causes them to deride or make fun of you, it impresses God. He listens very intently and very carefully. He honors each and every one of your words as if they were precious jewels. When we chant and glorify, those words rise up to the kingdom of God just like a wonderful fragrance for the Lord. The power of those prayers does not depend upon we who make them, but it depends on one who hears that prayer and who loves us. Heard about a little kid. He was in a sandbox, and in the middle of the sandbox there was a rock. He wanted to eject that rock from the sandbox because it was impeding his fun. He rolled it with great trouble. His little tiny legs were turning. His arms were straining. He got it to the edge of the sandbox. There was a lip. He lifted it up and fell back down. He lifted up, fell back down. He did that a number of times. Several times it fell across his fingers, smashing his fingers. The tears began to flow. And just as soon as he started to cry, a shadow fell over him and the sandbox. It was the boy's father. The boy's father said, "Son, why didn't you use all the strength that was available to you?" So the little boy's crying and sobbing, "But I did, Daddy, I did. I used all the strength that I had, my arms, my legs." The father corrected him kindly. He said, "No, son, you didn't use all the strength that you had. You didn't ask me." This is a picture. This is Krishna. Supreme Personality of Godhead descended 5,000 years. He was on the planet for 125 years, and in the seventh year of his manifested pastimes, he lifted a huge mountain called Govardhan Hill and held it on the tip of his hand for 7 days. Now, how can a seven-year-old boy do that? Because the law of gravity is a law by the will of God. God says that gravity will act, and it acts, not as a natural self-manifesting law, but gravity is the will of God. And if God wills it, gravity can suspend itself for his particular purposes. Think of this planet. How much does this planet weigh? Can we even calculate? With its redwood forests and its oceans and mountains, it's floating in thin air. Did you ever think about that? Whose power makes this huge planet float in thin air? If I had some wisps of cotton and I released them, they would descend by their weight. The air would not be able to support that cotton. And yet, there are not only this planet, but millions of planets floating in thin air. By whose power is that being done? By the power of the supreme physicist, the creator. He knows how to make a mountain weightless. He's floating them. So he can lift your mountains, he can shrink your mountains, he can remove your mountains. The key is to rely on him and not to rely upon ourselves. If we rely on ourselves, it really limits the possibilities, limits the number of outcomes there can be. It limits the extent of the outcomes. You add Krishna or God into the equation and a world of adventure, world of excitement, world of possibilities opened up. Think about it. Before creation, there was nothing, just blackness. And out of that blackness, God created not only this planet, but millions and millions of other planets from nothing. So my point is that faith can move mountains because it connects us to the maker of mountains. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." Do you know what that word was? Om. Om. We have a number of items, pendants and baseball caps with Om symbols downstairs, and visitors often ask me what the Om symbol means, and I tell them it was the sound that God uttered when he wanted to create the universe. Sound is the most subtle of the material elements. The next subtle is air, the next subtle is fire, the next subtle is water, the next subtle is earth. When God creates, he speaks the bees, the seed of the universe. The entire universe is contained within that sound vibration. He speaks that and it telescopes out from sound to air to fire to water and then to earth. And in this way, the phenomenal world is created. This building was physically manifested at the grand opening, June 23rd, 2001. But many, many years before that, my wife and I created it in sound. We talked about it, how many domes it would be, how many square feet it would be, how many stories it would be. In a sense, we created it on the subtle, sonal level first. Then the next step, it was translated into architectural plans. And then finally, it manifested itself to our eyes through stucco and a concrete block. If we were to decorate even a single tree, it would take us weeks and weeks and weeks, putting all the leaves and setting them and gluing them. And yet God just says, oh, entire universe has come into being without his having to do anything mechanically, any engineering. It is said here, transcendental sound comprehends all vital energies within the universe and beyond, and is thus undivided by time or space. Transcendental sound vibration is so subtle, unfathomable, and deep that only the Lord himself and his empowered followers can understand its actual form and meaning. What does that translate? When you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari, or any bona fide name of God, things happen in the unseen world. Things are put into motion. Favors and blessings head in your direction. Shrinvata Shakata Krishna Punya Srava Ridantashtu Abhadani Vidunati Saritatam. Simply by Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, that's all we're doing. That's the whole dynamic. We chant, we hear, we chant, we hear, and then we remember the Lord. Simply on the basis of that principle, and it's fun, it's melodious, it's congregational. Simply on the basis of that principle, we become pious. Any bad choices, any negative karma that we have in our background, the chanting is so powerful that it destroys, like a thunderbolt hitting a mountain, it destroys more sins than you can ever, ever commit just by chanting Hare Krishna. And it purifies the heart. It enters the corridors of the heart just like the powerful rays of the sun and dissipate all darkness and all ignorance. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, used to say, we all have an original relationship with God. It's just that we've forgotten. When you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, you revive that which is already within you. Let's say you had a friend when you were young, you lived in Ohio, or you lived in Athens, Georgia. You and your little friend, you lived in the same street and you had all kinds of adventures and together. They moved away or you moved away and you haven't seen or heard or talked to that person for many, many years. And the phone rings one day, says, this is Lee. Lee. Search your memory for all your current acquaintances, your school associates and your sports, people you play basketball with, and you just don't come up with a Lee. Who is it? Who did you say? Lee. Did I go to high school with someone named Lee? Or was it junior high school? I said, Lee, Lee, remember we used to skateboard together and we got in trouble that one time? And, oh, Lee. That memory was there all along, but it just required a little bit of uncovering. It required you to take a little bit of dust off the mirror of the mind. Every single one of us is God or Krishna consciousness. We are. It's not something we have to find or attain or gain or earn. We are created God-conscious, ladies and gentlemen. It's simply a matter of uncovering the dust from the mirror of the heart. It's fun. It's not like going naked into a cave in the middle of the freezing winter of the Himalayas. It's fun. We're going to have a great feast in about 20 minutes' time. We hope you'll join us, and not just join us, but eat up to the neck and go back home, back to Godhead. Such a deal. Here it says, we actually got ourselves in this mess of birth, death, disease, and old age with all these mountains covering our real spiritual self because of material sound vibrations. And because of material sound vibrations, Britney Spears songs and DVDs and Letterman, that's what got us to where we are. But we can use that same principle to get us back to the eternal spiritual world full of light and bliss. We can roll back the nescience by the same principle of sound. Only this time we have to make it transcendental sound. Through sound, it is said, one can take up residence in the world which ought to be. If you have issues with this world, people don't treat you right, outcomes aren't what they should be, you know, how many times do we say, well, my parents ought to have treated me differently, or my coach ought to have treated me differently, or my boyfriend ought not to have done that? If you want to be in that world where everything is as it ought to be, you're in the wrong place. This material world is a broken world. It's where souls go who forget God. Just by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, do it with me, everybody. Try, as you chant it, try and get the sense that as you're chanting it, as we enter into the spirit of that sound, we are, at least for the duration of the chanting, in the world that ought to be. We're a God-centered world where we're all brothers and sisters. None of us are strangers. We're not black or white or Christian or Hindu or Jew. We're spirit souls, part and parcel of God. Try to realize that reality as we take 15 seconds and everybody chant. If you want to be thinking of another name of God, that's fine. You're at the Krishna temples, you might as well chant Hare Krishna. It's the same thing, okay? So everybody together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We just visited the world that ought to be. If you want to stay there for a longer period of time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada says here, therefore, the sound vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra, although presented in the ordinary alphabet, should not be taken as mundane or material. With these bodies come four defects: tendency to make mistakes, cheat, to be illusioned. So as soon as we say something concocted from our own mind or intellect, it's characterized by words like, I think, I suppose, it might be, it may be. And that indicates that we're saddled with these defects, being covered by these dull material senses. Sound vibration, which comes from the spiritual world, is free from those defects. When you associate with the Lord through His transcendental names, you are pure, you are perfect, by virtue of your being incomplete, connecting with the complete. Here it is said, when the mind is completely washed of all material contamination, the pure spiritual consciousness of the living being arises. The pure devotees of the Lord can reveal the spiritual world by their transcendental sound vibration, making it possible for even a neophyte devotee to experience the Lord's abode. Prabhupada came to America in 1965 when the young people were blitzed out of their minds with pot and LSD and free love. How did he get their attention? What was it about this 70-year-old man in an era when kids wore buttons that said, don't trust anyone over 30. What was it about this 70-year-old man that inspired those same young kids to lay down their lives for him? He gave us access to the eternal spiritual world. He was so conversant with the spiritual world through sound vibration. He talked about the world of life without end, the world of unlimited bliss and eternity and knowledge. He talked about it as confidently and as comfortably as you would talk about going to the grocery store. That lit us up. The point of contact was sound. Of all the material elements, sound is the next door neighbor to the spiritual world. Here's a quote. It says that we souls in the material world have become so involved with our erroneous ways that is as if our hearts have become buried in a gloomy mountain of sinful desire. The lotus feet of the Lord, however, are like brilliant thunderbolts that can shatter these mountains and illuminate our true consciousness. Bottom line, faith may not always change the outer circumstances of our life, but it always changes the inner landscape. And if the inner landscape has been changed, it really doesn't matter what's going on the outside. When you face difficulty, don't complain. Start speaking light into the situation. Krishna knows how to get you to where you need to be. Faith is what moves the Lord. When you speak favor, that's what activates the Lord. Is there a mountain in your life keeping you from being your best? My challenge to you is to start speaking. You've prayed, you've hoped, you've believed long enough. Your mountain will respond to your voice. There's nothing more powerful than you declaring victory over your own life. Some of you have talked about the mountain long enough. You need to start speaking to the mountain. If you rise up and say to the sickness, get out of my life, to the strife, get out of my life, for the depression to be removed, to become clean from that addiction, Krishna will turn your mountains into molehills. You'll remove obstacles that looked immovable. You will accomplish dreams that seemed impossible in this life, and in the next life, you'll go back home, back to Godhead.